What is up, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so you know what that means. A brand new episode of the Tan and J-Man Show, streaming live on the IC Sports Network, along with the IC Sports Network X page and YouTube channel, and the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us subscribe, give us 5 stars on your favorite podcast platform, all that good stuff if you haven't already. J-Man, what's going on? It's hard to believe this is our last episode of July.
It's crazy. Yeah, MLB trade deadline tomorrow. Already seen some moves, and this is by far the best trade deadline out of any of the sports. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here the next 24 hours or so.
Yeah, I'd say this one's the best, followed by the NBA, and then the NFL. Because NFL, there's a few moves, but it's usually nothing huge. Yeah.
It's a little more difficult going to an NFL team midseason than it is. I mean, you can just go play baseball, play basketball.
True.
It's a lot easier.
True. Very true. Very true. But the Olympics going on. Have you watched a lot of the Olympics?
No. Watched. It's mainly just like Sunday afternoon background sort of deal.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of volleyball I watched. I think it was Serbia and Canada. They just happened to be on. Other than that, I haven't really watched a whole lot, to be honest. I didn't watch any of the USA basketball. I did watch a little bit of France and Brazil, and Brazil hung in there. I'd only heard of one player on Team Brazil, and of course, France has a pretty good team. All 5 guys have played in the NBA, Brazil hung in there, and I think they're winning at halftime or pretty close at halftime, but then France kind of pulled away. That's about my extent of the Olympics watching so far.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the USA basketball game yesterday. Watched Simone Biles yesterday a little bit. She's pretty incredible. That's what my wife wanted to really watch, the gymnastics. I haven't caught too much of anything else. I seem like when I log on to Peacock and I'm watching everything, I realize most of the stuff on there is replays of what's already happened.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll catch up on more this week. Maybe I'll make it more a priority. I don't know. I mean, I'm one of those guys, I don't hate watching the Olympics by any means, but I don't get real fired up for it either.
It's fun to have it on, even because there's usually nothing on in, you know, July, August, heading into football season. So it's kind of nice to have a little bit of some sort of athletic competitions to watch. But
I did see Chase Buttinger dominated for the men's volleyball against France.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
they probably need to get more NBA players in there. But I very much remember back when Chase Buttinger was in college, there was all these stories about how he was an incredible volleyball player in high school and all that, and he just happened to play college basketball. Now here he is in the Olympics for volleyball.
Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool story. But I thought the same thing, too, when I saw the highlights of him on social media. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he played high school volleyball. I'm pretty sure he was really good.
Yeah.
So, boys high school volleyball is becoming bigger and bigger across the country. I know in Indiana now it is this upcoming school year. It's the first year they are a recognized sport.
That's cool.
IHSA, that and girls wrestling.
That's cool.
So very, very cool.
Yep. Before we get any farther, I do have some birdie bogey for you.
Hey, let me get 3 strokes down. Fantastic.
We are doing our ACC college football preview today. So I have an ACC question for you.
Boy.
Since 2011, every single year in the ACC football championship game, it has been won by either Clemson or Florida State, except one year. Who was that one team that won the ACC championship that was not Clemson or Florida State? I think Clemson's won like 4 and Florida State like 6 or 7, whatever. Florida State's won more. But this one team bucked the trend a little bit. For just one year, and then it came back to Florida State or Clemson. So,
okay.
Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Monday night is pizza night. Dill pickle margarita, pepperoni cheese. Get some pizza. Get some za.
I'd go for some za right now. I'm pretty hungry.
Always can. Always can.
Yep. You hit on it in the birdie or bogey question. We're going to be doing our ACC preview. It's so weird that conference is still called the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yeah.
With additions of some of these schools that we'll be talking about. But
yeah, Stanford and Cal. It's weird. Even SMU. Yeah, that's weird as well. But
You know, the Big Ten's got 18 teams, but the Big 18 just doesn't roll off the tongue like the Big Ten.
It doesn't. I mean, Big Ten's a national brand. So is ACC, though. So that's why I'm sure.
And Big 12.
In the Big 12, in the SEC. So, but hey, so is the Big East.
That's true.
That's no longer for football.
That's true. That is true. So, you were talking about it earlier. MLB trade deadline. I haven't been following it real close, but I have seen there's been quite a few moves made. Why don't you catch me and the rest of the TNJ Man Show Nation up with what the Cubs have done and some of the bigger moves around the league?
So the Cubs have probably made the biggest move so far around the league, trading for Isaac Paredes from the Tampa Bay Rays. It's actually has come full circle now, as he was in the same international free agency class as Christopher Morel was, and the Cubs traded Christopher Morel for Paredes yesterday. And then he was in South Bend, and the Cubs traded Paredes to the Detroit Tigers in 2017 at the deadline for Justin Wilson and Alex Avila. And now he's back. So he's only 25 years old. He's just a few months older than Chris Morel. I really wanted, and I'm sure the Cubs really wanted Morel to work. And, you know, he has this high offensive upside. He has like the third fastest bat in baseball. He hits the ball hard, but here we are 4 months into the season. He's hitting .199 with a below league average OPS. And he's played a miserable third base. And that was the thing coming into the year, you know, start Morel at third base, see what you got. Well, here we are 4 months in, and you're having to play guys like Miles Mastroboni at third when, like, Justin
what
Steele starts.
Yeah, what a name.
It's a good name, not a very good baseball player. he is good defensively at third. I'll give him that. But it was definitely – it's hard to give up on a guy like Morel because you see all the tantalizing tools. I mean, he throws 95 miles an hour across the diamond. He has extreme power. He's cut down on his strikeout rate. He's raised his walk rate. But eventually you are who you are, and that's a .199 hitter right now. And so they trade for a guy who just made his first career All-Star game a few weeks ago. And Paredes, who has an interesting style to him. He is an extreme pull hitter, which you don't see guys like this do very well in baseball. And it'll be interesting coming to Wrigley, as they have the furthest distance between home plate and the left field foul line out of any ballpark in the league.
That's a good trade question.
To Tampa Bay, who has, I think it's 312 down the line or something like that. So they said he would have hit five less homers so far this year had he played at Wrigley. That doesn't factor into, you know, wind blowing out. Right. I think he'll be helped by the power alleys at Wrigley, which are pretty short. They add a proven middle of the order bat in Paredes, who's only 25 years old, under team control for the next 3 years. And he plays a good third base too. So you don't have to, you know, take Morel out in the seventh inning when they're winning, or have him DH exclusively. So far I like that one. They also made a low risk, high reward sort of trade with Nate Pearson, who was a Toronto Blue Jay. Throws hard out of the pen. He hasn't had a very good year, but he's striking out a ton of guys, hasn't walked many. He's just been hit hard, which is weird for a guy with his sort of stuff. So he's only 27 years old, under team control for a few years, didn't give up a whole lot for him. So far it looks like Cubs have kind of been buying, if you want to call that. Now I think come tomorrow at the deadline, we'll see guys like Mike Tauchman go, and Hector Neris and Mark Leiter Jr., potentially Jameson Taillon. He is scheduled to start here in about 30 minutes, and he has not been scratched as of yet. I know he was a guy four teams were kind of interested in: Astros, Red Sox, Yankees, and Orioles. And I want those Yankees, Orioles, and Red Sox to get into a bidding war with him. But as of right now, he's scheduled to start. And if he starts tonight, I think he won't be traded at all. Elsewhere around the lead, we saw Eric Fetty from the Chicago White Sox, the miserable, one of the worst teams ever, White Sox.
Yeah, they I don't know if they're going to win 40 games.
They would have to win 13 more.
I know there's a lot of season left, but it's just like, because I mean, they're going to, and maybe they already have, they're going to end up calling more guys up from the farm system. towards the end of the season. So they're probably not going to win with those guys.
That might actually help them, honestly.
How bad has this year been, this whole last calendar year, for Chicago sport?
Hasn't been good. Cubs were supposed to, you know, be good, and here we are. They're mediocre at best, and maybe they'll get hot like they did last year, but it remains to be seen. White Sox, I would venture to say they are worse than that 03 Detroit Tigers team that went 43-119. I think that, I mean, they'd have to win 16 more games or something. Yeah. I just don't see it, especially they'll likely be trading Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert at the deadline. Then they got nothing up there. The Bulls continue to stay in that mediocre, never get over the
9-10 seed playing.
Finally, it looks like they're going to tear it down, which is the smartest thing they could do. Blackhawks are terrible, but honestly, on paper, they probably have the best future.
They got a bright future. Yeah.
Terrible picks. DePaul basketball, you can even throw them in there. Northwestern's not in the city of Chicago.
At least DePaul, maybe Holtman can get them going a little bit.
That was a good hire, respectable hire. Gives them a little bit of validity there in Chicago, maybe. But it's been pretty poor. Bears, terrible last year. I know they have some hope. I saw one guy today had him going 12-5.
There was a pass Caleb Williams made the other day, and guys are like, he's one of two guys in the world that can make that pass. Like, it's training camp. The pads weren't on. Let's just pump the brakes, everybody.
This is why they get to where they are. This is why Bears fans get where they are. They hype somebody up so early, and then they give up on him in 2 years when he's not as good as they were hoping he'd be. Next Patrick Mahomes. So
I saw a good thing on Instagram. I think it was Instagram today that said the timeline between when Robert Downey Jr. was revealed as Iron Man and now as Dr. Doom. The Bears won one playoff game between all those years.
You know how many the Dolphins did? Zero.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but what other moves have caught your eye around the MLB? I know we kind of went down a Chicago sports rabbit hole there, but
as I said, Eric Fetty going from White Sox to the Cardinals. Cardinals traded Tommy Edman to the Dodgers, and then White Sox got a whole bunch of middling prospects. They could have gotten more. Elsewhere around the league, I know I'm missing something fairly big. Jazz Chisholm going from the Marlins to the Yankees 10 years ago. This deal would have never happened. He has too much flash. But now it'll be interesting to see how he fits in with that culture there.
He did help their World Series odds in Vegas a little bit.
He's solid. It'll be interesting, though, the first time he pimps a homer, whether somebody corners him and tells him, we don't do that here. We're boring here in New York. Shave your head. but other than that, Orioles made a middling trade for there's been relievers traded. No huge names traded yet. It'll be interesting to see what the Blue Jays do with Vlad.
I know Vlad. I was going to say, Vlad's the one I've been keeping my eye on because you've been hinting at it for a while.
Haven't heard anything on him yet. So, but again, I didn't see the Cubs trading for Paredes yesterday and trading Christopher Morel at that. Going forward, it sounds like Tyone's going to make a start tonight. So I don't think he'll be traded. Nico Horner's a guy that's been mentioned. He could potentially be a trade bait. And even Seiya Suzuki's name's been kind of mentioned. So it'll be an interesting 24 hours or so because you can't just sell. You can't trade Justin Steele. You got to at least – and honestly, Hoyer should be doing this for his job. He shouldn't have a job. But here we are. And it looks like he's very safe.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think his actions this past week or two are showing that he's probably pretty safe?
Probably for this year, but I think he should have a little bit of urgency going into the offseason and into next year. Because if they're trading guys away next July, there's no way any rational owner, which Cubs don't have one, would keep him on. So hopefully it just gets better because this has been just depressing.
Yeah, you can say hopefully a couple more times if you want. But anything else, MLB, thoughts, aside from the deadline? Anybody coming out of the gates hotter than you expected after the All-Star break? Anybody coming out slower and colder than you expected?
The Orioles and Yankees are still playing bad baseball.
Yes, they are.
It's crazy because they're very good.
It's really
weird. The Tigers have played very good baseball here since the All-Star break, but unfortunately they're 12 games out of the Central, and they're going to start trading guys away.
Mets lost three of four to the Braves. That was a pretty big swing.
Yeah.
Just when their fans were starting to feel pretty good about things all of a sudden.
Yeah, especially with how bad the Braves have been here recently. The Rangers are starting to play better baseball, only 4.5 out of a bad AL West. So it'll be interesting to see what they do the next couple days at the deadline. But other than that, it's kind of stayed about the same as where we were so far.
A lot more baseball talk coming in the next coming months, yes, on the Tan J Man Show, for sure.
Yes, sir.
For sure. But do you want to, on this day this week, or do you want me to take
it? I have her pulled up, so right. I will do the on this day. On this day in 1921, Cleveland's 125th anniversary celebration, the city of Cleveland's 125th anniversary celebration. Cy Young, aged 54, pitched two innings.
54 years old.
54, you know.
Pitched two innings.
I think other teams should do this. Have David Cone come out, throw a few innings in a game for the Yankees. Have
David Wells. I'd rather see David Wells.
That's a good one. He's 60.
Boomer.
I'm trying to think of somebody who'd be in their 50s for the Cubs. Have Kevin Tappany come out, throw a couple innings for the Cubs. On this day in a lot of Tour de France, 1934, who won the PGA Championship men's golf tourney?
34. Let's go with, Walter Hagen.
Paul Runyon.
Never heard of him.
He won in 38 holes. I don't know how that, didn't play that many.
No, that's weird.
On this day in, oh, man. Old Timers Day on 1978, New York Yankees announced that Billy Martin will return for about his 12th time as New York Yankee manager in 1980.
He and Steinbrenner's relationship was just unbelievable.
On this day in 1986, a New York jury rules that the NFL violated antitrust laws and awards the USFL with $1 in damages.
$1.
$1. On this day in 1988, the Baltimore Orioles traded Mike Boedeker to the Red Sox for Brady Anderson and Curt Schilling.
Brady. Steroids.
Steroid to the max.
And Schilling Curt went, Schilling, too.
Yeah, probably Schilling, too.
And he blocked J-Man on Twitter.
And he blocked me on Twitter a long time ago. He's the worst. He's still the worst. Let's be honest.
I haven't seen that guy on my television in years.
No, he's too busy following a former president around. On this day in 1991, the first Sunday night baseball game at Shea Stadium was played as the Mets beat the Cubs 6-0. Shea Stadium was a dump.
You just took it out of my mouth. I was going to say, I heard that place was a dump. Yeah. I never had been.
I wasn't either.
Yeah. But I've heard Citi Field is a much upgraded experience.
It looks a lot better. On this day in 2001, who won the 88th Tour de France?
I'm going to guess Lance Armstrong.
No winner. Lance Armstrong was disqualified.
All right.
Gotcha.
Live Strong.
On this day.
Did you have one of those bands?
Oh, yeah. Who didn't?
Yeah.
I remember the Cubs started making those kind of bands, too, and I wore a blue Cubs one. I forget what it said on it. But
oh, right, yeah, man. I had Purdue ones. I had, like, they were all too big for my wrist, of course, so sort of sliding down here on my forearm. I wore, like, three of them at a time. Yeah.
2014, this is a big one in Cubsdom. Chicago Cubs catcher John Baker won the game on the mound, and he also scored the game-winning run on a walk-off sac fly by Starlin Castro. It was the longest game in Cubs history. I believe it was in the 16th inning against the Colorado Rockies. They ran out of pitchers. Catcher John Baker had to come in throwing 40 miles an hour, and I think he went 1-2-3. And then he got on, somehow got on third with less than two outs and scored on a sack fly. I call it the John Baker game.
I believe we bet on that series, and I lost the bet.
You're used to losing to me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I owed you a six-pack of beverage of your choice.
Coca-Cola, if I remember correctly. That'll be the On This Day for this week.
That is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by This Week, like it is every week, Moody Woodcrafts. Moody Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs that fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Moody Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know that Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. So I know I keep preaching it, but now we're almost at the end of July. It's going to be August next week when we're back on the air here. Christmas is getting closer. So make a good Christmas gift for that sports fan in your family, maybe that military member in your family, or maybe somebody who's just got married. Doesn't even have to be in your family. It can be good friends. So whatever you need. Made out of wood, that can do it. Tell them Tan and J-Man Show sent you 15% off your first sign order. Well, pick six segment this week has to do with the ACC, since we're talking about the Atlantic Coast Conference tonight. So I found a list that named the best college football players from each of the ACC schools. And we'll start off with Boston College's Luke Kuechly.
Retired early. He was a heck of a linebacker, though. I'm surprised it was Kuechly over Matt Ryan.
I was, too. But
Can't argue, I guess. Yeah.
Or Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the most famous college football plays.
He was a Buffalo Bill. That's maybe why I have that reaction to him. Yeah.
Fair enough. Let's see here. Syracuse, Jim Brown.
Oh, Jimmy. Yeah, one of the greatest running backs. Maybe pound for pound, the best running back in NFL history. One of the best football players ever.
You know, Syracuse is, you know, we all view it, I think, as more of a basketball school. But you look at their pedigree for NFL players, Jim Brown, Floyd Little, Ernie Davis, Donovan McNabb, Marvin Harrison. Pretty good lineage there. Yeah. Pumping out some good pros, especially from that running back position. Virginia Tech, Bruce Smith.
Oh, man. One of the greatest, maybe the greatest pass rusher ever. Hey, or Reggie White. I think that is a record that will stand forever in the NFL, even with more games. I think his career sack record, pretty incredible.
Yeah, he had 200 over a 19-year career. And at Virginia Tech, he had 46.
Oh, man.
And 71 tackles for loss. So that's domination. That's domination here. Virginia, Rondé Barber. Not Tiki, Rondé.
Rondé, good, real good DB. Who did he play? He played for Tampa Bay?
Yes.
Is that where he played for? Yep. I think he's a Hall of Famer, too.
I believe he just got it, or is getting in. This class. I think he got in last year.
Yeah, Tiki was the bigger name at the time because he played in New York, but Rondé was a much better football player. Tiki was like a 3-year wonder, in my opinion.
He had 15 interceptions during his time at Virginia across 34 games, but that's only third in program history, which is kind of crazy because usually if you get in the teens, that's usually number one. He had 8 picks as a redshirt freshman in 94, which is the second highest mark in program history. So I wonder who had – they must have had a stud cornerback at one time, but he's right at number one on this list. So
you see these guys with huge pick numbers in college, and you just realize how much better the quarterback play's gotten in college football than it was back then, because it was still primarily like a running, sort of deal there.
Yep. And I'm going to break my pick six rule this week. I'm going to do a few more than six because there's these next four guys. I want your opinion on all of them. NC State, Philip Rivers.
Phil, he likes having babies, I tell you.
Yes, he does.
He's got a lot of babies.
10, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it is 10. Good career. Will probably be a Hall of Famer because he has the numbers. But he didn't really do anything. He never got to a Super Bowl. Did he even get to a conference championship game? I think he got to one.
Yeah, when he was on, he played on a torn ACL at New England.
That's right. Yeah. But he never had great teams around him, but he always did pretty well.
Helped the Colts team get to a playoff appearance in his 1 year there.
He did. He did.
Yeah. They went to four consecutive bowls under his guidance. They won three of them. He still holds Wolfpack records for career passing yards, 13,484, and career touchdowns, 95. Heisman Trophy winner for Louisville, Lamar Jackson.
Lamar. Yeah, electric. And looking back, he should have not fallen to, 31, 32, wherever he went in the draft. And two-time MVP in the NFL. So.
Yep, he's electric. I remember him. The season opener for the 2017 college football season for Purdue and Louisville. They played each other in Lucas Oil, and Purdue gave all the fight they could, but he was just too much in the end, and Louisville squeaked that one out. So, a few more here. Miami, Florida, your Kings.
My Kings.
Ed Reed.
Arguably the greatest safety in history. I think you can put him right up there with a guy like Ronnie Lott. I remember, I think it was Peyton talking, like, whenever you played the Ravens, you had to worry about 52, but the one guy you had to worry about is, where's number 20? Where is he? And there was a play where they ran this play every single time. Their defense, whenever you'd run this certain sort of play, Ed Reed would go to the opposite side. And one time, Colts ran it, and Peyton said Ed Reed was right where he wasn't supposed to be, where I was supposed to throw the ball, like he knew. Like, there was a predisposition of where I was going to throw the ball. And his instincts, and, I mean, he was unbelievable.
He was the heart and soul of that 0-1 Miami team, which was one of the greatest college football teams I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He still has several records at Miami, including 21 career interceptions, 389 career interception return yards, and 5 interceptions returned for touchdowns.
Pretty good.
And lastly, for tonight's pick six, primetime Deion Sanders of Florida State.
Deion, yeah. He obviously unbelievable at Florida State, and then an unbelievable NFL career. He had a good baseball career on top of that. One of the greatest athletes we've ever seen, and maybe the most unlikable coach to ever don a college title, and that includes Brian Kelly, because Brian Kelly is still coaching college football.
Yep.
And Deion, I'm very excited to root against them. Excited. And I think they're gonna have a real hard time with North Dakota State in week one.
I think they don't realize how pumped up North Dakota State's gonna be for that game. And North Dakota State's a pretty good FCS team. So
maybe they're like the Alabama or Georgia of FCS.
And I laugh, like, Colorado fans are like, really, we should have been at least 5-7 last year. We shouldn't have lost to Stanford, when they had their 20-some-point lead. I'm like, you shouldn't have beat Colorado State.
Absolutely.
Colorado State had that game won, so yeah. it evens out there. But yeah. Yeah, man, I just laugh. I think they need to make a bowl game first before they're writing themselves in the playoff, but here we are.
Deion's going to leave before long.
Yep. So, but that is the pick six list tonight of some players that play to ACC schools, and it's brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years. Yes, it's 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for a fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
ACC College Football Preview. We have reached our college football previews. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, we moved it up a week early, but for some scheduling reasons. But I'm glad we did, because it really helps fill out the time, and I'm ready to talk some college football.
Yeah.
Not only are we talking ACC, but we're also talking Notre Dame, because they're kind of partially in the ACC. They play 5 ACC games, at least 5 a year. So I thought we'd throw the Irish in there as well, and we probably have a lot of Irish fans who listen to our podcast or watch our podcast every week. So why don't we start off with the Irish? Why don't we start off with the Irish heading into Marcus Freeman's third year? And this schedule's right there for the taking for them. It is I'm known as a Notre Dame hater. I'm not gonna try to lie about my words here, but looking on paper, man, they should take advantage of this, especially at home. And yeah. they should be in the playoff.
They absolutely should. I think 11-1 might be their floor. Like I think they are legitimately really good. Lost Sam Hartman to the NFL. I don't know if he got drafted. I don't remember.
He did get drafted, I think, or picked up. I think he's on the, gosh, I want to say the Commanders, but now I'm thinking Panthers. But he also got drafted in the UFL.
USFL.
Yeah, so he can go there if he doesn't make the team.
They picked up Riley Leonard from Duke, yep. who's had a yep. couple really good years for Duke.
Should have had Notre Dame beat last year.
Absolutely should have, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles the prime time going from, you know, a basketball right. school to an extreme football school. So,
right. New offense coordinator in South Bend this year, Tommy Reese, went down to Tuscaloosa to go. Yeah, that was this year, right? Yeah,
I think that was last year.
Was that last year?
I think so.
Was that last year? But they got a new offense coordinator anyways, coming from LSU. Now I can't find his name in my notes. Oh, Mike Denbrock. Yeah. New OC from LSU. So defense should be really, really good mm-hmm. on this team. Of course, they lost Jeremiah Love. Or no, Jeremiah Love's back and Jadarian Price. They should help ease the loss of Audric Estime, who's on the Denver Broncos now. So now I can root for him now. I could stand the last 4 years because he's just a truck of a running back. But they got some new receivers in the portal, Chris Mitchell and Bo Collins. And then Jaden Greathouse is back too. And of course, their tight ends, Mitchell Evans is one of the best tight ends in the country if he can stay healthy. They're tight end pretty much, them at Penn State. So, but yeah, looking at this schedule, man, Al Golden's coming back for year two on the defense, the old Temple coach in Miami, Florida coach, pulling up their schedule right now. Their hardest game, in my opinion, is week one.
I agree.
It's yeah. College game day, August 31st, 7:30 at night at Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one L I have them taking. I have the Irish going 11-1.
Me too. Yeah, I have them going 11-1, and the only loss, you know, it's opening game for Elko there, who left from Duke and is now at Texas A&M. And, yeah, that place will be absolutely rocking. You got a bunch of weirdos down there at Texas A&M doing dances on the sidelines and in the stands. And they have cult-like behavior there at A&M. And I think the cult ultimately wins.
Well, you know, it's like every year I look at Notre Dame's schedule, it's hard to not pick against them on the road, or at least think about, because they play so few road games. I about pulled the trigger on USC at the very end of the year.
Yeah,
but I just don't know what we're going to get out of Lincoln Riley and USC this year.
Big year for Lincoln there.
Yep. Any other games that pop out that you're like, they could lose this one?
Honestly, no.
Florida State at home. I mean, that's probably their toughest home game.
Sure.
It's a night game in November, though. Those Florida boys probably aren't going to like the South Bend weather on November 9th.
Yeah.
Louisville, maybe, on September 28th. But Notre Dame should want revenge because Louisville
kind
of took them to the woodshed down in Louisville last year. But other than that, I mean, you got home games against Northern Illinois, Miami, Ohio, Stanford, Navy and Army Army's, I think, the Shamrock series. Navy's technically a road game, but it's in Baltimore. Virginia's at home. I mean, they really lucked out this year with they do play Florida State, but no Clemson, no Miami, Florida. I mean, really, they don't play too many teams from the middle up in the ACC even.
No.
So they do travel to Purdue. I hope that's competitive, but history tells me it'll be competitive at Ross State, but Notre Dame will win.
Is that a night game?
It's a 3:30 CBS game.
Okay.
So history tells me, because usually Purdue can keep competitive in Ross State. South Bend, not always.
When's the last time Notre Dame played at Ross State? Was that the Turbush?
No, it was actually 2013. Okay. Daryl Hazel's third game at Purdue, and Notre Dame won by, I believe, it was either 7 or 10 points.
That's it.
Purdue actually played them really tough that night. It was one of Hazel's better coach games. Yeah. But before that, it was the Turbush game 2011. This is the first out of six straight years they'll play. Purdue hasn't beat them since 07. That was in Ross Aden. That was against a 3-9 team quarterbacked by young Jimmy Clausen. So, yeah. Man. Yeah. But, yeah, the Irish got to be pretty good. I mean, it hurts my soul to pick them 11-1, but I put 11-1 as my prediction, ceiling 12-0, and I had their absolute basement at 9-3. Absolute basement. That's losing, like, Florida State, USC, and A&M.
Yeah. Yeah, they should be really good.
I mean, we have seen it, though. I mean, Marshall got them at home 2 years ago. But of course, that was Marcus Freeman's first year. They should be really good. Xavier Watts, All American. He's a beast on the defensive line. They also have Haywood Cross at defensive tackle, cornerback Benjamin Morrison. I mean, they also got transferred Rod Hurd to second from Northwestern, Jordan Clark from Arizona State. So, and to complete their backfield. So, yeah, they're going to be Riley Mills is another one. With him across a defense tackle. Yeah, they're tough to run against on College Football 25. Let's put it that way. So if that translates into the actual games, they're gonna be pretty good to go. So they do have to replace multi-year starters at linebacker, but Freeman's a linebacker at heart. So that's why he played in college. That's what he started. His first position coach was a linebacker spot at Purdue. So he knows linebackers pretty well. The weird thing, the weakness of this Notre Dame team might be the offensive line. That's weird to say because they're kind of a factory, but they have to replace three starters, including Joe Alt, who was an All-American and went in the top 15 of the draft.
Yeah.
So top 10 of the draft, actually, I think. So, if they can keep Riley Leonard upright, they're going to be favored more times than not.
He's a different sort of quarterback than Hartman, because Hartman was extreme, you know, pocket guy.
Yep.
And Leonard can run a little bit. Sure. So it'll be interesting to see how they can utilize him. It'll be probably exciting for Notre Dame fans to see something a little different there.
But Notre Dame's when we get to the final week of our predictions, which will be week one of the college football season, we'll do our full 12-team playoff field. But with 11-1 record, they're definitely in my playoff.
Yeah. So.
But who do you have winning the Atlantic Coast Conference this year, J-Man?
I have Florida State. Even after, you know, they lost Jordan Travis, Trey Benson, Keon Coleman to the Bills, Johnny Wilson on offense, they get DJ Ugalugale from Oregon State, former Clemson guy.
He should fit right in.
He had a very good 2 years at Oregon State. They have picked up Roy Dale Williams and Malik Benson from Bama, Marvin Jones, Cam Riley, Devontae Brown, and Earl Little on defense. They should be very good once again.
Yep. They should have revenge on their mind, in my opinion. They should have been in the playoffs last year. Would it have been ugly? Yes, but they should have got in.
Yeah, they earned it.
Mike Norvell, I'm sure he's preaching about that. But I actually have Florida State number two. I have them number two in the ACC. I have the Clemson Tigers taking back the top spot in the ACC. And Dabo's not – he's not going anywhere. But he might need that because they're 30-10 since 2021. Most programs, they built a coach statue. Yeah. But not in Clemson. Not that since they won a couple natties. They're getting fired up there. But Garrett Riley's in his second year as office coordinator, so that should help. There's a lot of new things going on with the offense there. Kate Klubnik's back. Phil Maffa, I believe how you pronounce his name, and running back coming back. Bryant Wesco and TJ Moore, really good wide receivers. Defense only returns two starters though. So
they're always good defensively. They'll be led by Barrett Carter this year. They did lose Will Shipley on offense, which will hurt. The offense was bad, and it almost feels like with the NIL transfer portal that the game is starting to pass Dabo by quickly. He refuses to use the portal for one, does not have a single transfer on the three deep depth chart.
Yeah.
And, that'll catch up with him eventually.
You have to use it a little bit. You don't have to use it a ton. I don't think if you're a program like Clemson, we got to get it in there a little bit. I understand wanting to still have, you know, true freshmen on your team and wanting to build that, those culture, build the culture and build those leaders and everything. But you like you said, you're going to get passed by if you don't get in the portal a little bit. So too much talent out there.
Especially after how bad they were on offense last year. Yep. I don't think Klubnik's that great of a quarterback. So I've been finishing fourth.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. I'm either going to look smart or really, really dumb. Having them number one.
I have my Canes finishing second.
They're my number three.
This is the year that Cristobal actually gets them rolling.
He needs it. He needs it.
He does. They've recruited so well, too. They picked up Cam Ward from Washington State, 61 total touchdowns the past 2 years.
They come from an air raid offense, though, to not so much of an air raid offense. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. They had bad quarterback play from Tyler Van Dyke last year, who's at Wisconsin now. Loaded up on defensive transfers led by Michelle Brown, Simeon Barrow from Michigan State. This should be the year. Fan interest in Miami Hurricane football is non-existent these days.
Yeah, they also got Damian Martinez, who's a stud running back in Oregon State last year. Talk about a program that was decimated by people mm-hmm. leaving Oregon State. Of course, their coach left for Michigan State, so that was predictable. But I was looking. There's a couple teams in ACC that took guys from Oregon State. So, like you said, the biggest concern is on the defense side of the ball for Cristobal, and that's with the secondary. He lost a lot of secondary to graduation or the pros. So we'll see there. They did get Simeon Barrow on the interior mm-hmm. line from Michigan State. Good player there. So, it'll be interesting down there in Miami.
I have NC State finishing third.
They're my fourth.
picked up transfer Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina, who's had a great career at Coastal Carolina. 88 career touchdown passes. Jordan Walters transferred from Duke, 1,600 career rushing yards, and returned quite a bit on defense.
Yeah, they also got transfers. Noah Rogers from Ohio State, people mm-hmm. might remember him. Wesley Grimes from Wake Forest, and Justin Jolie from UConn. I mean, UConn's putrid, but Jolie's one of their better players. And then Jordan Waters had 819 yards at Duke last year. He should be their starting running back. Four starters return to the trenches, and Notre Dame transfer Zeke Coral is going to be at center. They're one spot they don't have a returning starter, so their offensive line should be really good there in Raleigh. Their defense has ranked inside the top three in the ACC and fewest points allowed every year since 2021. So, you know, if mm-hmm. defense is good, it's going to keep you in ball games. Tony Gibson's a really good defense coordinator there, so So we should see. We shall see how it goes. But Dave Doran's done a heck of a job there since 2013.
Yeah. He has. Yep.
So who you got? Oh, you got Clemson, number four. Who you got number five?
I have Louisville.
I have Jeffrey Brohm's Louisville Cardinals as well.
Won 10 games last year. They loaded up in the portal. 8 of their 11 projected offensive starters came from the portal, led by Tyler Shaw. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Shaw. Seventh year QB.
Yeah, from Texas Tech. He can run a car if he wanted to. Jeff Brohm, you know, inherited a decent situation there. Much better situation than he inherited at Purdue, and he built them into a pretty solid program in his days. But now, just loading up again. We'll see if he can replicate what he did last year.
Yep. I think they'll be pretty good. I know he's going to love himself some transfer portal. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Defense should be a strength, which that's just still blows my mind with Ron English, that's all right. They return a lot on the defensive side of the ball. So we'll see. I probably won't root as hard against Louisville as I did last year.
It's two years now.
I don't. The Band-Aid's been ripped off. Well, and Jack Plummer was their quarterback last year.
That didn't help matters.
And then the fact that they were a win away from getting in a big-time bowl.
Whew. Yeah.
But that's all right.
They also had a pretty good running game, which was not something they did at Purdue either.
They did. So, yes. So it'll be interesting down there. I will be rooting for them against Notre Dame. I can guarantee that. So, we have number six.
I have Virginia Tech finishing sixth.
I have SMU, one of the newcomers to the ACC.
I have SMU finishing seventh.
I got Virginia Tech seventh. So
Vautech won five of their last seven games. Kyron Drones could be a Heisman dark horse. 17 touchdown passes, over 800 yards rushing. It's been a while since Virginia Tech's been really good at football. And the college game, I hate even saying like, oh, so-and-so's better when so-and-so's good. But it feels like the college game is better when Virginia Tech is good.
Yeah, the only time I watched Virginia Tech last year was against Purdue after like a seven-hour rain delay. Thank goodness that happened, or Purdue probably wasn't going to win that game.
Yeah.
Because when it restarted, there was like half the crowd there. But yeah, Vautech, I agree with you. They need to be good for the ACC in particular, but also for college football. Yeah. But I think momentum still can be something in college sports, even though the transfer portals kind of changed that. NILs mm-hmm. changed that. I still think there's something to be said for winning five out of your last seven. Yeah. Absolutely. Their defense allowed 23.8 points per game last year. Eight starters back on that defense, so that's always going to help.
Yeah.
SMU, I had them sixth. Who do you have seventh? You have SMU seventh, you said?
Yeah. Yep. They won 11 games in the ACC last year.
American Athletic Conference. Yeah. Very good program for many years, but this is a step up now.
It is. They do get their quarterback back, who threw 28 touchdowns last year. And also their defensive end, Elijah Roberts, who had 10 sacks last year. So, again, yeah, step up. It'll be interesting to see how they can translate that over.
Yeah, I'm sure head coach Rhett Lashley's going to have some challenges, but they return 14 of their 22 starters.
Yeah.
So that's an advantage.
Yeah.
So, offense is always going to lead the way with that program. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's a program that's identified by their offense. Their defense gave up 33.8 points per game in 2022, but last year only 17.8.
Yeah.
Big time improvement. So,
yeah.
So we will see. Who do you got finishing eighth?
Georgia Tech.
I got Georgia Tech 10th. I got North Carolina.
I'm the high man on Georgia Tech. They return Haynes King.
Yep.
Who threw 27 touchdowns and ran for 10 touchdowns. Also returned Jamal Haynes, who ran for over 1,000 yards. So they should be able to put up some points. It's all about defense.
They also returned four offensive line starters. I remember watching them against Louisville last year. They probably should have beat Louisville. They were driving to win the game, and Haynes King got strip sacked from behind. Brent Key exceeded expectations last year, took over a program that had been down in a while, led him to a 7-6 season with a bowl win, of course, 4-4 in ACC. So, they do have a tough schedule. They play 11 bowl teams, including Florida State, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, Louisville, and Miami. So it is going to be a tough schedule, but they can put up some points. So, in my eighth spot, I had North Carolina. They're 17-10 over the last 2 years, but they've had slides in November the last 2 years. And that's kept Mac Brown's team from finishing in the top 25. They need to find a quarterback to replace Drake May. Easier said than done when you're replacing a quarterback that was taken third overall in the NFL draft. But they have a favorable schedule. They got some transfers. They actually have three guys that should be competing for quarterback. One's transferred from Arkansas, one transferred from Texas A&M, Max Johnson, and Jacoby Criswell, and then Connor Harrell as well. But it looks like the running game is going to be the name of the game.
Yeah.
Omarion Hampton, one of the better running backs. He's, I believe, preseason all ACC running back. So. Yeah.
I have them finishing ninth. Obviously, you lose your quarterback to a top three pick. And the New England Patriots. Yep. Omarion Hampton, 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns last year. Really good tight end, and Bryson Nesbitt as well. So whoever wins that quarterback spot, which I think I read it's projected Max Johnson right now from A&M.
Yeah.
We'll have some weapons. He threw 9 touchdowns last year for A&M. A bad
Jeff, team. Jeff Collins, new defense coordinator, replacing Gene Chizik. Gene Chizik probably should never get any job in college football ever again.
Yeah.
He's got to be the worst head coach to ever win a national title.
Yeah, he lucked in to Cam Newton.
Yes, he did. He's the Kevin Ollie of college football. they ranked 11th in stopping the run to ACC last year, but edge rusher Kamen Rucker had 8.5 sacks. And Powers Eklos, what a name there. They're two returning standouts on the defense side of the ball.
Yeah.
So, who do you have number 9?
I have North Carolina 9, Georgia Tech 8.
Okay, who do you have 10?
I have Boston College 10th.
Oh, this is not going how I was. I got Boston College 13th and Cal 9th. I was hoping we'd have the same team there. So,
they lost their head coach to the Green Bay Packers to be defensive coordinator. They hired Billy O'Brien,
O'Brien. Yes,
they should put up a lot of points. They have Castellanos, Robichaud, and Trishon Ward in the backfield that could put up a ton of points. But defensively, who knows? Who knows how they'll be?
Yeah, they allowed on defense last year 32.6 points in the ACC play and ranked near the bottom of the league and stopping the pass and the run.
Yeah, that's
they do have new defense coordinator, of course, coming in with Bill O'Brien and his new staff. So it's going to be weird to see Bill O'Brien back in the college landscape. It's been a while since he was the head coach at Penn State, because since then he's been head coach at the Houston Texans, then office coordinator at both New England Patriots a couple times and at Alabama. Yeah. So, yeah, but now he is back. He is back. I have them 13th. Ninth spot, I have Cal. I have another newcomer to the ACC there.
I have Cal 13th.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see how they adapt to the ACC and the travel, extra travel schedule. But Justin Wilcox's team is looking for their first winning season since 2019. It's been a rough couple of years there in Cal, not only for football, but for basketball as well. They used to be pretty good at defense, but in 2021, they held teams at 22.3 points per game. But last year, 32.8.
That's bad.
Last year. So they do have 8 starters coming back. I don't know if that's good or not, coming back from a defense that gave up 32.8 points per game. They've had some pieces in the portal, too.
Yeah.
So so we will see. New offensive play caller as their former OC left to become the OC at Baylor. So North Texas transferred Chandler Rogers should be their new quarterback, it looks like. So, and then Jaden Ott, and the website I took notes off, called him the most underrated running back in the country. Yep.
1,300 yards and 12 tutties last year. But again, traveling across country, it'll be really interesting.
And they got Tobias Merriweather from Notre Dame as one of their top wide receivers. So Notre Dame fans might remember him. I think he was like a 5th or 6th guy in Notre Dame. That's the beauty of the portal. Some of these guys that are very talented but lost in the depth chart, one place can go and move right up to the depth chart of that new place. So So I got Georgia Tech 10th. Did you already say who you had 10th?
Boston College.
Boston College. 13th, who do you got 11th?
I have Syracuse.
I have Syracuse as well. All right, we're back on the same page.
They fire Dino Babers. And they hire Fran Brown as their new head coach. They got transfer Kyle McCord from Ohio State, which he'll find life a little more difficult with Mel Harrison or Egbuka. Have a really good running back, Laquean Talon, returns with a 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns last season. They struggle defensively. They always
Yes, they do. New defensive coordinator Elijah Robinson plans to shift the unit to a 4-2-5 scheme, which is always an interesting one. So we'll see. They'll put up some points, but can they stop people?
Right.
Who do you got 12?
I have Duke.
I got Pitt.
Okay. Mike Elko left for A&M. They hired Manny Diaz, who keeps getting jobs as a head coach. They also lost Riley Leonard, Jordan Watchers, and Aeneas Peebles and RJ Oben to the portal. It's a tough job anyway, and Cutcliffe did a fantastic job making them respectable, and Elko did a very good job taking over for him and obviously getting a bigger job. I had a habit of putting the West Coast teams further down than they probably should be. So that's why Duke's 12th.
Yeah, Manny Diaz, prior stint as Miami from 19 to 21, he's 21 and 15 as head coach. He does get a truck for a quarterback in Texas transfer Malik Murphy. The dude's built like a house. Duke allowed the fewest points in the ACC last year at 19, but I don't know if that's going to carry over. But I have Duke 16th. I just think they have a lot to replace there. Yeah. So
I have Pitt 14th. So
yeah, Pitt's coming off a 3-9 record. Their first losing season since 2017. Narduzzi's not on the hot seat, but if they don't make a bowl game this year, he might be. Offense was the biggest priority in the offseason because they only averaged 20.2 points per game last year and 5.3 yards a snap.
Yeah.
So offensive coordinator Cade Bell coming from Western Carolina, and they're going to try to play a fast tempo this year. So we'll see. Defense also was not very good last year, giving up 27.4 points per game, highest mark since 2018. So.
15th, I have Wake Forest.
I have Wake Forest 14th.
They have not recovered since Sam Hartman's departure, and that's a tough job. I think it's the smallest school in the Power Four, at least it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's still the case with all the
movement. Tough to get in academically.
Yeah.
They have a former Boise State and Louisiana Tech transfer Hank Bitchmeyer will battle true freshman Jeremy Hekalinski and senior Michael Kern for the starting quarterback job. So they only threw 6 touchdown passes in the ACC games last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
and they've lost a lot of good players too to other teams.
Sam Hartman. I think Sam Hartman has the ACC record for touchdowns, and you lose him. So
Yep.
It's pretty rough.
I have Wake of 14 to 15 out of Virginia.
Okay. I have them 16th. So 3-9 last year, lost their best player to the Dolphins in the 6th round. He had over 100 catches, 1,500 yards. They were terrible defensively last year, over 30 points a game given up. And it has not looked good there so far for, I think, Tony Gibson's there as their head coach. So
Tony Elliott.
Tony Elliott.
Tony Elliott.
I knew it was a Tony something.
Notre Dame transfer Chris Tyree will be another one of those guys. I was lost in depth chart. Notre Dame should be one of their top playmakers at wide receiver there for the Cavaliers. So,
I think we're down to the last team here, which we both have Stanford.
Yep, one of the newcomers. Yeah. Just don't see much there.
No. They had the second worst scoring defense in college football last year, on top of a bottom 25 offense, and it's amazing they won 3 games. Honestly, they went 3-9.
They gave up 38 points per game on defense, allowed 6.6 yards a snap in Pac-12 play.
Yeah, that's bad.
7 starters are back on the defense. Once again, don't know if that's good or bad, though.
Hopefully they were all freshmen last year, and now they're, older.
They do return a wide receiver that had a 1,000-yard season last year.
Okay.
So, kind of surprised that guy didn't go anywhere in the portal, but you don't
know. Something – well, I mean, that Stanford education's hard to come by, so.
True. So, yeah, that's the ACC. We'll keep tabs and see how badly our predictions age this year in the ACC.
Yeah. They usually end very poorly anyway.
Yep.
So
yep, it's hard, it's tough, but it's fun. It's fun to talk about, and it's fun to see. Oh, I forgot that guy landed there. Oh, I forgot that coach is at that school now. Oh, I forgot that guy's at OC or DC. So
it's so hard to follow college football transfer portal stuff.
Yeah,
college basketball's a little easier. That's difficult too.
Yep.
Birdie bogey time. How are you feeling about this one?
I'm feeling good, but that's got me scared.
Since 2011, Clemson and Florida State have won every single ACC college football championship game, except one year. Who was the one school that bucked that trend?
I think it was Kenny Pickett and Pitt.
It was. You got a birdie. You're back in it. For bonus points, can you name the year?
Twenty twenty.
No, I'm dropping it back down. You get a par.
No.
It was 2019. It was 2021.
Ah, 21. Okay.
But
I was trying to think how many years he's been in the league, and I could blank.
So. After I did the trivia question, I'm like, well, no one else has been good, really. I mean, you could have maybe said Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Miami had a good year.
Miami popped off to me at first with the chain that year and everything, but they kind of faltered at the end of the season.
Yeah. So. Kenny Pickett. Yeah. He was now with the Philadelphia Eagles.
But yes.
Thanks for watching the Tan and the J-Man Show. Tan J-Man Show will be back next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.